So easy to promote our own selves. So easy to think that we're better than the other. There must become a warfare mentality. Secondly, we must become a praying people. Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 2. Exhort first of all supplications of prayer and intercessions. Begin with thanks being made for all men. We must fight the war, put on the good warfare, because we are at war. Seducing spirits and doctrines of the devil are everywhere. And the Bible says, give no place to the devil. And that is the place of where the sins of division come. We can give no place to the devil among us. We must become men of prayer. And notice, it must be men. Not only a church of prayer, we must have men. I would therefore that men. And in the Greek, it's quite specific. Men in the masculine gender, not in the general sense. I would therefore that men pray. Everywhere. Sir, it's not our wives and our children that should be praying. We should be praying. It should not be that our wife and our children ask for family devotion. We should be leading the family devotions. You hear me? We are the ones to take the initiative to show them that we're dependent upon God. Because prayer is the outward demonstration that we are needy people. But when we refuse to pray, or we have no time to pray, we're suggesting that our strength, our talents, our energy, our money, our resources are adequate at the time. I got everything under control. You have not got everything under control unless the knee has bowed and you spent time with God. Men are to pray everywhere. That is that men are to take the leading role in praying in the church. How are they to adorn themselves in prayer? By lifting up holy hands. Not violent hands. Not greedy hands. Not lustful hands. Holy hands. Oh, the wonder of it. The child will never know the hand as a lustful hand. The child will never know the violent strike. The child will never know the greedy grasp. Holy hands. Holy hands. While the world in us has overwhelmingly men who violate their women and abuse and hurt and destroy their children. May we have men whose hands are holy hands. Holy hands. Men who are without wrath, that's quick to anger, not easily upset. Don't fly off the handle. And men who are not down. Men full of faith and faithful. It was in our early beginnings. We're 2 or 3 years old. One comes to me and speaks to me. Said, I really don't know if this is going to work, Brother Messer. I really don't know. Having second doubts. Think we may have went wrong. You can't work with doubting men. I said, what do you talk like this for? You and others sit around and talk to me. Well, I don't know. I just don't think it's going to work out. I'm going to have to pray about it. It already had been just that morning unknown to me. Had already gone to the realtor. And when the church opened, took it for himself and walked off, leaving us. They come. They go. Sir, if you're not in for the long haul, if you're not willing to serve the Lord, quit the pretense. Get on with it. We need men who will not forsake their wives nor forsake their children. We need men who will say, I'm serving the Lord. I give my all to Him. Our hearts need to be set and fixed. There must be a warfare mentality, and we must pray. And we must have men who are faithful, who are loving, who are holy, self-controlled. Self-controlled. What do you think we are doing when we pray in our church and then we go home and have fits of rage with our children? Who do we think we are to lift up our hands in a sanctuary and pray, and we can't live peacefully and lovingly and givenly and sacrificially with our wives? Come on. This thing is either real or we need to just cash it in. There's no time for pretense any longer. Do you hear me? The cloud is coming, and we need men who can gather their children and their wives underneath their arms and stand together and say, we stand with God against sin, and by God's help, we're going to bring revival. Hallelujah. Certainly, we need women who know their position in the church and their appearance that's needed. He mentions that in chapter 2. Thirdly, we need leaders in the church that are good and qualified leaders who are willing to fulfill their ministry and do what they need to do in the fulfilling of their ministry as they lead us in the Lord. The church will only go so far as its leaders. I talked to my wife last night after service. Forget the man's name. You'll probably hear about it. The Church of the Now, located eastern side of Atlanta in Connersville. They probably got 20,000 members in that church. Pastor came out yesterday and said, I'm going to let you know I'm gay. Some boys in his church came out publicly declaring that he was gay. And some of them have committed suicide because of the reaction. So he said, to stop this, and I hope that others, I will admit publicly that I'm gay, so that young men who are in this situation will not be taking their lives. How far have we gone? We better wake up. Because there's corruption everywhere. It's in Pentecostal holy circles. We need blameless leaders. Blameless! Who fulfill their ministry. Gathering themselves. One heart and one soul. And I pray that God will help us as leaders of WPC, become one heart and one soul in the working of the Lord. Differences may be there. Settle our differences. Get ourselves together. Because there's a work to be done. Not only that, we must be involved in benevolent work. Paul says, take care of the needy, and the needy in those times was the widows of the day. He turns and says, have a warfare mentality, Timothy. Get your men who will lead the church and pray. Get your women who will be leaders. I mean, fulfill the position in the church and live and dress. Dress as godly women, full of good works. Get qualified men who are good and holy and blameless that will fulfill their ministry. Take care of the needs of those that are truly in the need. Don't just look to yourself. Look out among those who are needy and take care of them. There's a world out there that needs us. It's not enough for us to stand against abortion. We need to be able to reach the ladies, be able to help them. They're addicted to sin. They're addicted to drugs. We're afraid to bring them in. We don't need to be afraid. We need to deliver them by the power of God. Amen. We can no longer just live in the four walls of our church. We've got to reach out to our community and our neighbors with a hand that will help. Obviously, there'll be those who will misuse and abuse us. But we still must do the work. Allow the results to God. How is this thing being supported? By giving. The work of God must have money. It cannot work without money. Money either comes from us working with our hands. It comes by giving, or it comes by supernatural provision of God. But somewhere or other, you've got to have money. And Paul says, charge those who are rich. Charge them. That they be not high-minded, but trust in uncertain riches. But they do good, be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. Philemon was such a man. Rich, opened his home for the church at Colossae. Was willing to give his slave or forgive his slave and receive him as a brother when he returned to him with Paul's letter. Notice the admonition is loving, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come that they may lay hold on eternal life. Notice the incentive for the rich to give is when the time comes, you will be rewarded then. Not that if you sow your seed now, feeding the greed and using it. Oh, there was a time when we advocated to our people, we need money for our mission field. Please give that the gospel may be spread. Please give that they may have a church. Let's build the work of God. But that kind of incentive to give, to promote the work of God, and that God in the eternal state will keep an account and reward you abundantly for your giving. Now it's no longer there. Give that you may receive. Give that you may receive, that you may build up bigger barns, and that you may have more money, and that you may be more rich. And the incentive is to give so that we may receive. God didn't tell us to give that we may receive. He tells us to give that the work of God may grow, that souls may be saved, that the kingdom may work. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I've said enough. Not sure where to go about preaching here at the assembly this year. And having some of these things laid heavily on my heart, after speaking with the other members of the executive presbytery, I felt truly this is what God wanted me to share. Those of my two men gave their time yesterday evening, gave them to me graciously and willingly, and believed it was the Lord's will to do so. I've been among us now, we've been among each other now for a little over 20 years. And those of you who have heard me preach, I have not preached with such passion and such forcefulness and so bluntness before. It's time for us to quit talking about our smallness. We need to quit talking about what we don't have and what we have lost. It's time for us to look at what God has given us. Everybody, 30 years and under, sit down. Everybody, 30 years and older, stand up. Now, you sit down. Everybody, 30 and under, stand up. This is what God has given us. You hear me? This is what God has given us. They know nothing else but WPC. Quit talking about anything else. You are God's gift to us. And by His grace, may we make you strong, invincible, because you love the Lord with all of your heart. I know by this time we should be having communion and foot washing, but it's time for us to pray. Those who are standing, will you please come? Please come.